Good morning. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, and I pray that by our worship this day, we might all know that this is indeed the day that the Lord has made, rejoicing in it as we seek the presence and power of the God who was our maker and our sustainer. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by live streaming or by recorded worship. We know that we are separated by distance and perhaps by time, and yet by the power of the living God, we are made one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcome by this congregation. We have a few announcements we'd like to offer this morning. As usual, we want to thank our worship leaders for their time and giving of their gifts this day in making worship possible. And so we give thanks for Wayne Zaretter and Tom Foster, for Kirsten and Elaine McDonough, and thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the rest of the staff at Pegasus that's helping us to make this worship possible on the technical side. During our time of worship, as usual, we have a time of candle lighting. So we invite you to have a candle ready to do that, and the candle lighting will happen just after the time of announcements. We always have a time of offering prayer concerns and celebrations during our prayer time following the sermon. And so we invite you to let us know if you have joys or celebrations you would like us to lift up this day. You can do that by emailing those prayer requests to admin@firstchurchnatick.org. If we've received these by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into the worship. So we hope that you will take advantage of that possibility. As usual, we have a post-worship time of fellowship that we have via Zoom video conferencing. You'll find a link to that post-worship video conferencing time, fellowship time, in the church's bulletin, but also on the church's website, and you should also find it in the link emailing that went out on Friday or earlier today. During the week, we have a time of midweek connection and prayer. This is about a half an hour conversation to lift up the things that are on our hearts and minds. So those of you who would like to do that with others and to pray together, it's a time to check in and to share those prayer celebrations and concerns that we're carrying throughout the week, and just to touch base for a bit, about a half an hour or so on Wednesdays at noon. And again, the link to that is found in the link emailing and also on the church's website. Pastoral care during this time can be challenging, especially if we don't know that there are particular cares and concerns that you might have and would enjoy a pastoral response. So please let us know. And in particular, I invite you to email me at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. This is a way for me to be directly responsive to the pastoral care needs that you might have. And we really encourage you to do that. One thing that didn't make it into our bulletin this week is the fact that we have a cabin fever theology, or what we have called in the past pub theology. This is a time for informal conversation about things theological, spiritual, and sometimes just mundane. That'll be 7 o'clock this Wednesday. And again, it's by Zoom, and you find a link in the church's link emailing, as well as on the church's website. So we look forward to having that kind of conversation. Feel free to bring a beverage of your choice and whatever munchies are good for you during that time. Again, this is a casual time of conversation about things that matter to us. So we look forward to that time together. We come to a time now when we continue our worship by inviting the Spirit to be with us. And specifically, we do that by lighting a candle. So let us now light our candles together, remembering that by these friendly flames, that by the power of the Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ, no matter how distance or time may divide us. Let us continue our worship now as we continue on with our responsive call to celebration.
Please join us in the responsive call to celebration. Come, all you weary and hurting.
Now find rest for your souls.
Now enter the grace of forgiveness.
Now taste the living water of renewal.
Come from busy weeks and anxious worry.
Find in this time green pastures.
Songs that lift you to the heavens.
Prayers that ease the wrinkles from your soul.
Come and worship.
For God is our maker, defender, and guide.
Join us in the opening prayer as we say together, Loving God, we come to you with awe and wonder, aware of the mystery of life. Reverent before your holy love and power, we open our hearts and minds to you this day. Look on us with love. Open our hands and hearts so we may let go of distractions and obstacles and follow you to the springs of life. Sharpen our awareness of the sacred, that we might perceive and understand you better. Fill us with your spirit, that we might know you and ourselves fully. Make this time a holy moment when we sense your spirit, get caught up in your grace, and accept our call to loving discipleship. Amen.
I invite us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our own peace, or perhaps using the word namaste and a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We come to a time now when we think about the many different blessings that have been bestowed on us by a loving God, gifts we have been given and indeed been entrusted with to be stewards of. And so as we think about those many different things that we have, that we might lend to God's mission in the world, we invite each of us to consider the ways that we can be generous. During this time, we're not passing around an offering plate, but we encourage all of you to continue to be generous contributors financially to this church's mission and ministry. It's part of the fuel that makes it possible for this particular vehicle and the work of God to be underway and to do the things that we are called to do. So we encourage you to do that, and there are ways to do that. You can simply write a check and mail it to the church office, or you could go to our church's website and use our website to make it an online contribution. That website is www.firstchurchnatick.org. So let us now rejoice in what is and what we have been given, and all those many things that we can share with the world, and in particular, in the mission of God, and in what is ours to give as we lift up our offerings before our loving God. Let us pray. O God, through the offering of these gifts, may we become a more open people, open-minded in hearing your wisdom, open-hearted in healing a broken world, open-handed in heeding your call for charity. With thanks for all good gifts, we present a portion of our substance and the whole of ourselves. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Here ends the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, when I preached, I had us consider Paul's admonition to make the most of the time. Caught up in the rat race, we may miss life-enhancing and soul-satisfying opportunities. Seize the day, says Paul. Use the present opportunities to the full, for once past, this soul-feeding moment may be lost forever. And so the question today I'm thinking is, well, how do we seize the day, and why are we doing that? Consider Thoreau, then. Thoreau, whose two-year stint by Walden Pond had much to do with using time wisely. Why should we be in such desperate haste to succeed, he said. If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. No doubt Thoreau marched to his own beat, but he had the good sense, the wisdom, let's say, to challenge narrow habits of mind and of conventional wisdom. A passage from Walden captures Thoreau's spirit on this. He says, "One says to me, 'I wonder that you do not lay up money. You love to travel. You might take the train cars and go to Fitchburg for the day, for today, and see the country.' But I am wiser than that. I say to my friend, 'Suppose we try who will get there first. The distance is 30 miles, the fare 90 cents. Well, I start on foot and get there before night. You will in the meantime have earned your fare and arrive there sometime tomorrow or possibly this evening if you are lucky enough to get a job that's in season. Instead of going to Fitchburg, you will be working here the greater part of the day." So for Thoreau, conventional wisdom says the train is the quickest way to Fitchburg. Thoreau says instead, "I know a way just as quick and infinitely more satisfying." He may have been odd, undoubtedly he was, but he knew how to make the most of the time. Martha and Mary illustrate a similar theme, and it's one which has inspired countless artists to represent it. Martha is the busy hostess. Mary sits at Jesus' feet and listens. When exasperated, Martha complains, "Lord, Lord, why don't you talk to my sister? Why don't you tell her that she should be helping me?" Jesus rebukes her. Mary, he says, Mary has chosen the better part. So I imagine Martha trying to make sense of this. I hear in her complaint her own frustrated desire, probably, to sit at the master's feet. She resents Mary for having an experience that she doesn't feel she can have. Conventional wisdom of her day tells her, as a host, you must serve your guest well. And as a woman, you must not presume to sit in the exclusively male position at the foot of the master. Well, ironically, Martha's hospitality erodes. She ends up yelling at her host, right? She ends up yelling at her guest. Because she is so focused on her own need to fit societal expectations. These make her inhospitable to Jesus' words and blind her to what is most important. Mary, here's a different drummer. She defies her sister and the social order. She is aware that nothing else in the moment is more important. But Martha is distracted. Marching to the world's beat, she welcomes Jesus, but not the opportunity he offers her to connect with the holy. We need the doers of the world, no doubt. It was, after all, because Martha worked that Mary was able to sit at the feet of the master and learn, right? But surely we do not live by bread alone. We get so worried about where the bread, the shelter, the money is going to come from, all too often then we miss the opportunity to feed our souls, and thereby we lose the portion that would truly endure. So survival in this fast-paced life means that a lot of the time we got to be Marthas, doing more faster. But the spiritual question is, how can we be a Mary in a Martha life? Because living as a human being, not just as a human doing, requires us to be a Mary, to some degree at least, with an awareness of soul-satisfying opportunities. In Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World, author Joanna Weaver points out that Mary's gift was her availability, while Martha lacked availability due to her busyness, and it resulted in her distraction. Remember, Jesus said to her, "You're worried and you're distracted by many things. There is need really of only one thing." So what's that one thing that's needed? That's what I'm interested in. That one thing, what could it be? And I've been thinking that maybe it's as simple as paying attention, being intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually available. That's not always easy. I promise that when I return from the vacation I just had, that I would report on how I did practicing what I had preached about making the most of the time. And I'm going to do that. Well, the truth is, it takes me at least a few days before I can stop fidgeting. So as usual, I began my vacation by doing household chores, a number of different projects, in fact, things like, well, sharpening the knives and spreading mulch and tidying up the basement. I put down work, but it took me a while before I stopped myself from doing and settled into being. Fortunately, we had the opportunity to go to the beach. There I put my phone away. There the day was wide open. There the weather was perfect. The company, my wife and my older daughter, was terrific. And I appreciated just how good a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and potato chips can taste when they are enjoyed in this warm sunshine, with a gentle breeze blowing and with the sound of the gulls and the crashing waves off in the distance. But boy, did it take a long time to get to that level of paying attention. Fortunately, others teach us how to attend. So take Thoreau, for example, who prepared to make the most of his beloved walks by carrying a pencil and paper and a jackknife and a spyglass and a magnifying glass and a flute. Or poet William Carlos Williams, who carried a notepad at the top of which was written the words, "Things I noticed today that I've missed until today." Or writer Henry Miller, who said, "The moment one gives close attention to anything, even a blade of grass, it becomes mysterious, awesome, indescribably magnificent world in itself." They might not describe themselves this way, but they exemplify the true disciple who makes a daily pilgrimage by seeking the holy in the everyday. Well, sometimes I do better with paying attention, and I'm always rewarded when I do. And it usually happens when I am pursuing a hobby that I recently took up again. In fact, I had hoped that I would be able to incorporate that hobby into my work with the Native Church. That's why I happened to bring my new camera on my first day of work, March 2nd. And I took a few shots, in particular, took some shots of the church. The outside of the church building in particular. And, you know, the details matter. Whether it's evidence of the need for repair or it's evidence of the church's commitments and values. Or, like this blooming daffodil just beneath my office window there on March 2nd, was it a good omen? Maybe. Was it proof of climate change? Maybe. Either way, my camera had me paying attention. That's what I like about photography generally. Paying attention to people and things, but especially capturing the story of the relationships between them. For example, of the photographer to the subject. Of the subject to their environment, of the part to the whole, of the interaction between them that creates beauty out of simple things sometimes, of the ordinary, that's something much more significant when we see it as part of our life story. Aside from the memories that I have captured digitally, what I did in picking up my camera was framing a scene was to be intentional about paying attention. Poet Mary Oliver teaches us what paying attention really means and the blessings that flow from it. She writes in The Summer Day, "Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with those enormous and complicated eyes. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Oliver begins with a theological question, and yet she looks to the observable world to get at it. Notice how closely she looks to receive her insights. Her close attention leads her where Scripture is meant to lead us. To the questions, who am I? Whose am I? And how am I going to live? Today, I'm thinking how great it would be if only I could make the hobby habitual. Not by always having a camera with me at the ready, but by bringing the lenses of the eye and the mind and the heart to bear on what is right in front of me. The people, the places, the things that I am in relationship with. We are living in a moment when we are tempted to avert our gaze from what is happening right in front of us, to keep our heads down, to divert ourselves, and to just get through. Well, there is a time for that, I think. But to the extent that we are doing it, we're not really seeing, for example, what our Black siblings in the family of God need us white people to see, that we're in the midst of a health crisis that still needs everyone to do their part, that we're in an environmental crisis that affects every single one of us on this planet, and that these crises are all related. And we can do something constructive in response to them. But chances are we are not going to do that if we don't first see them. Beloved, we may not get the opportunity to sit at the feet of the Master and open our ears to wisdom. But as we live our Martha lives, let us live with a commitment to being attentive, for keeping our awareness on spiritual opportunities, even in the midst of mundane tasks. We may yet discover moments to meet the sacred. And from there, we may also receive insight about how best to live our one wild and precious life. May our loving God so inspire us. Amen. We come to a time now of paying attention, to paying attention to the cares and concerns that are in the midst of our lives, to the joys and the celebrations that are there. And so in our paying attention, we connect ourselves to the things that are beyond us, to the people that are beyond us, and to our God as well. And so I invite us into a time of prayer now as we do that. We have a number of prayer celebrations and concerns that have been lifted up over the weeks and months, indeed, some even longer than that. And you will find those in the church's bulletin. We also probably have received some prayer concerns and celebrations before or during worship today. And so I now turn to Wayne Zaretter, who will let us know about those.
Good morning. Prayers go out to Bobby Pelletier, Bill Ladd's brother-in-law, who is recovering from COVID-19 at his home in Maine. Thoughts and prayers also go out to Bill's friend Molly's husband, Bob Dutton, who is being moved to hospice care. Bob's brain cancer returned after having surgery 5.5 weeks ago, and he's moving home to Martha's Vineyard. Thoughts and prayers go out to the friends and family of Sarah Lynn's aunt, Chris Peterson, who died this week after a long journey with cancer. Chris was the second wife of Sarah Lynn's uncle, Dick. Lastly, our prayers go out to the Natick husband and wife who were seriously injured in a hit and run accident while walking along Washington Avenue this past Tuesday.
Thank you, Wing. Appreciate that, lifting up those things. And there are others we're aware of. We're aware of the wildfires burning in California, deadly fires that continue. And we're aware of other weather events that are happening and developing along the Atlantic coast as well. So we keep those folks in our prayers, continued prayers, as we are in the midst of a pandemic. I'm sure you haven't forgotten, but sometimes we want to forget. And we're lifting up all of those who have died during this time of COVID-19, and also those who have lived with illness. We give thanks for the doctors and for the medical staff and for the researchers who are working on caring for those with COVID-19, and also for helping us all move to a time when we would have a vaccine and into this this difficult time we've been in together. So let us continue to lift those things up as we continue to pray as well for our nation as it grapples with racism and continuing white supremacy, and specifically looking into the soul of our nation and ourselves as we discover and rediscover how we can best pull down those walls that divide us and rebuild a world where white supremacy doesn't rule. Let us be together now in a time of prayer. Holy God, God of wisdom and understanding, in mystery and silence, you are present. You are always bringing new life out of destruction. You are always bringing hope out of despair. You are always bringing growth out of difficulty. And so we thank you that you do not leave us alone, but you continue to be present in our world and in our lives, laboring to make us whole. This day we come with praise and thanksgiving, trusting that over time we will come to see you more clearly. We will come to love you more dearly. We will come to follow you more nearly. And so we ask that you help us to perceive your unseen hand in the unfolding of our lives, and to attend to the gentle guidance of your Spirit, that we may know the joy that you give your people. We ask the same for those who we know are suffering with illness and pain, with depression and sorrow, those who are in mourning, those with anxiety and fear, for all those who are known and unknown to us, who so desperately need to know your presence, for all of us. Broken as we are, uncertain as we are in this unsettling time, give us the ability to drive away each distraction, that your wisdom and your peace and your joy might be revealed. Help us to attend, loving God, to your Spirit, to our own spirits and the spirits of others with whom we share our lives, that we might be made whole and that we might make the most of the gift of life and time with which you have blessed us. We give you thanks for all of these possibilities. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved, go forth now in the love of God from this time, this sacred time, to the many other sacred times and spaces of our lives. And as we do, may God's presence be with us. May the peace of Christ flow through us. And the sustaining joy of the Holy Spirit be in us wherever our pilgrim journeys may lead us. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.